Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky, a new twist, Andy, in the LeBron James Kyrie Irving reunion rumors. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how or where you get your podcasts, it's always going to be free. It's never going to be behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to hang out with over 17,000 rabid Lakers fans, subscribers, hanging on every bit of information they can get on the purple and gold. Of course, we do the best we can to provide as much context as we possibly can to all these things. Love to see your questions and comments. They will fuel this show. Throughout the off season in particular, please make sure to leave questions and we will use them on the show. We look every day for good stuff that we can use in the broadcast. I want to let everybody know that today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That is prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. So the Kyrie Irving rumor mill has been churning for a long time in LA. Kyrie's coming. He's courtside, Andy. He's going to come here. He's going to take less money to come here. He's coming for free. The Lakers going to be... new twist, Andy. Sham Sharania at the Athletic reporting that Kyrie Irving has reached out to LeBron James in the interest of a reunion, but not in Los Angeles, Andy. In Dallas.
Yes, this tweet from Shams: Kyrie Irving has reached out to Lakers star LeBron James in an attempt to see if James would come to Dallas. Irving is a free agent this offseason. I had the same reaction that I saw a lot of other people on Twitter. I thought this was a fake Shams. Like, I'm actually clicking on this, and then I'm clicking again, and then I'm clicking a third time because I'm like, there is no way in hell this is actually true. And I heard like Zach Harper from The Athletic, Tom Haberstroh over Metalark Media. Like, a bunch of people are like, this has to be the world's great. Like, somehow this fake Shams account got the exact same amount of followers as the actual Shams. Because, well,
things are going weird ridiculous. On Twitter these days, Andy. You never quite know what people are up to and how they might be gaming the system.
Yeah. And then Chris Haynes, from Bleacher Report, is adding some context to this that this is my favorite part of it. He's confirming the reports, also acknowledging, and we'll get into this, that forming a LeBron, Kyrie, Luka Doncic big three in the new era of the CBA, or frankly, any era of the CBA, would be very difficult. It could require...
Yeah, the only one that this could have worked is in the era before there was a CBA. Maybe it might have worked then.
Yeah, it might have required a different sport to make it happen, a different league. But
ball.
That it could require LeBron and Kyrie to both take big pay cuts. But the easiest, reading right now from Chris Haynes, and he notes... the unlikeliest path to adding LeBron James in Dallas this offseason would be for him to orchestrate a buyout. I don't know the exacts of how a buyout works when you have a player option for almost $51 million in 24-25 that season. I don't know if that counts towards the buyout or not. I just know LeBron has almost $47 million coming to him this year. Stranger things have happened, I guess. I don't count on LeBron.
Not many.
Taking a buyout. I mean, forget the fact that I don't think the Lakers will offer him one. I don't expect him to take one if they did.
Yeah. I mean, look, if they offered to buy him out for, say, 45, maybe he'd do it. But like, new graphics, we can see we have a nice rundown here of other stuff, you know, we're going to talk about. We'll get to Frank Vogel. Some leftovers from Monday's show that Andy wanted to get into, some important things of Frank Vogel being hired in Phoenix and how that might impact the Lakers. But regarding this, I think it's fascinating for, I found it fascinating for a number of reasons. The least of which is the idea that it could actually happen. the idea that LeBron James could end up in Dallas by any stretch. And I say this because you mentioned the buyout. The buyout is one way the Lakers. It is wildly impractical because beyond the idea the Lakers would just buy out LeBron James so he could go play for a rival within the conference and receive nothing in return, by the way. You know, you mentioned Andy the buyout. I'll read from Jovan's story.
Jovan Buha from The Athletic.
Any player who is bought out could technically be picked up on waivers, but that team would have to be able to fit in the player's entire salary. In this case, James is $47 million on its cap sheet, not just the amount he agrees to in the buyout, meaning the Dallas would have to create enough space to absorb LeBron's full value of his contract. It would also require James to take a steep discount. The Lakers would have little or to no incentive to have dead money on their cap sheet and then sign in Dallas for far less than he would have been making. James has as you mentioned, a $50.1 million player option for the 24-25 season, which he would forfeit. In this scenario, Irving would also have to take a significant discount. So everybody's taking a haircut to make this happen. So that means it's not going to. The second possibility is, okay, well, maybe there's a trade that you could work out. Andy, so I was scrolling through, this thing's got my attention. I'm looking through Twitter and I'm seeing things. And we all know the fake Woj trap.
I thought this was a fake Shams to begin with.
So you've seen the fake, oh my God, there's a trade and it's fake Woj and he fooled us. And then you have to you retweeted it and then you have to undo it and all that kind of stuff. And so some guy tried to do that with the fake Woj. And the trade was so bad. LeBron James has been officially traded to the Dallas Mavericks for Reggie Bullock, Davis Bertans, Tim Hardaway, and 3 first-round picks, which, by the way, the Mavericks don't have. LeBron gets his wish, and so does Kyrie. Wow.
My favorite thing about this is everything is so fake. Even the picture of LeBron
kind of does look fake. Yeah,
it looks fake.
It was so bad and so ludicrous that LeBron would have been traded for that package that even this fake Woj thing had 4 retweets. It's been up for 2 hours. It had gotten no traction. That's how awful this is. And so when you break this down, and we'll do this next, one of the things that is really interesting about this is when you start to break down why a trade doesn't work, why the Lakers couldn't, do something like this even if they wanted to, and why Kyrie Irving, Camp Kyrie, at least in my opinion, is clearly behind the rumor here. It says a lot about next season. It says a lot about what the free agency market could look like and this whole prospect of LeBron and Kyrie being reunited. So we'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Game Time. And years ago, some friends of mine and I, we went to go see LL Cool J in LA at the House of Blues. Really last minute, we weren't sure how to get tickets. So we went to a scalper and he sold us fake tickets. And we ended up getting into this concert through some total luck. But after that, I'm like, I will never go through a process like that again. And you don't have to because Game Time exists. It's why I love them. They are the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy shows, and theater near you. And with killer deals on last-minute tickets and the best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun. Low price guarantee, event cancellation protection, even job loss protection. The Game Time guarantee means you will always get the best price. And if you find tickets in the same section or row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is the fastest-growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds, 2 taps, tickets go directly to your phone and you're set. So snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
All right. So one of the things that is quite instructive when you start to go through and figure out, you know, LeBron, Rob Pelinka, he says, I want to go to Dallas. I want out. I want to go play with Kyrie. I want to play with Luka. I'm going to join up with Jason Kidd again. And, you know, he's got good relationships with all those people. He loves Kyrie, loves Jason Kidd. Like, some of the aesthetics of this proposition do make some sense. We discussed in the last segment why a buyout is not necessarily a realistic option. Andy, a trade isn't either, because if you try to construct a trade using Dallas's roster, it's damn near impossible unless you're willing to include Luka, because there's nobody the Lakers would want. And they don't have that much draft capital either.
Well, they do have a 10th overall pick this year.
They do.
Which I have to say, if they're willing to include that in this hypothetical that will, I can't emphasize this enough, not happen. If they were actually willing to include the 10th overall pick, if you're the Lakers, you have to think about it.
Do you? Do you really?
Yes. Like, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because there's only so much longer you're going to be doing this anyway, and it will make your eventual rebuild that you don't have a lot to work with that much easier. There is always a chance that the Western Conference Finals that you reached is the best that is going to happen for the LeBron AD era. And I say this as somebody who's even optimistic at the prospect of running it back. It's just the reality.
If you're going to trade LeBron James for the 10th pick and, you know, the best deal full of young players and non-trash is, I guess it's like Maxi Kleba and Tim Hardaway. And I'm looking at, you know, maybe like Dwight Powell. I want no part of Christian Wood. But like, you know, and
I'm not even
like,
sure the Mavericks want any part of him.
I'm pretty sure they don't. You know, Davis Bertans, I think, is a relatively short contract at this point. And then you insist on Josh Green and Jaden Hardy, who I'm not totally enamored with, but at least had moments as young players. And then the 10th pick and maybe a couple other draft picks or something like that. If you're going to do that, though, then you're going to you might as well trade AD.
Well, you might have to consider trading AD.
But why? I don't understand. Like, why would you, on the heels of this, with a team that you think is pretty good and has a legitimate chance to, you know, make noise in the Western Conference next year, why would you then decide
because
to
if you feel
tear
like,
it all down?
Because if you feel like LeBron is unhappy and his heart isn't going to be in this thing for the last possible year of his time with the Lakers, and even if his heart is in it, there is always a chance that him and AD are going to be hurt a lot and that they would have to scramble to try to replicate, much less build on what happened last year. I do think you have to consider it. I didn't say I'd jump all over it. I said you have to consider it, because it might be your best exit avenue moving forward. But if you feel like LeBron is going to be unhappy with the team, with his situation during the last season, you always have to take into account what goes on with Anthony Davis, with health and injuries. And also knowing that if LeBron leaves, there could be a chance that Anthony Davis decides to walk, because he can opt out after next season as well. So theoretically, you could end up losing both of these guys in a year anyway. So you might as well have a 10th overall pick to start a rebuild process.
Well, I guess that is a... I guess you're predicating that on the doomsday scenario of LeBron saying he doesn't want to be here and he's not going to come back. But short of him broadcasting that to the universe, I understand that the rebuild, when it comes, is going to be potentially difficult and potentially ugly. I would not preempt, again, short of some sort of sign from him that he just hates it here, he wants out, and he just wants to play. He's that desperate to go play with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic.
Honestly, it's not even worth going this far down the rabbit hole of whether or not you do it, because it's not going to happen.
But all I was saying, though, is like either it gets to what we've said throughout. Like, if you're in this situation with LeBron, if you're the Lakers, you either have to go all in,
and which is what they're going to do. It's what they are doing.
Every nickel on, yes, you know, with strategic considerations about the second apron and all that stuff and whatever, you know, go all in on everything. So that means, you know, biting the bullet and, you know, paying a spare player more than you want to, or break it up. Because I agree with you. You have to maximize. If you don't think that it's there, then I guess you might as well blow it up. But I don't see why you would.
I'm not recommending they do it. I'm saying if the 10th pick was actually on the table, you have to think about it. That's all I'm saying.
I wouldn't think for very long, to be honest.
The point being, this is not actually a thing. This is my immediate reaction when I saw this news. Was this is Kyrie Irving sending out a message to the world. I'd love to play with you, LeBron, but I'm not giving up money to do it. Therefore, you come to me. And later on, Jovan Buha from The Athletic in the report said, quote, the primary takeaway from the Lakers' perspective is that Irving isn't interested in taking a discount to sign him for agency. The Lakers would have to trade for him at his projected maximum salary, around $47 million, depending on the final cap numbers, to acquire him, which is impossible for the Lakers to do. Even if they were willing to do it, they can't do it. They will not have the space. So again, not that this code was particularly difficult to crack, but I cracked it in about 10 seconds.
It says
at
to me,
Cam Brothers, you can find the cracking of said code.
It says to me as well that Kyrie has found himself in a dicey situation where I'm sure he'd like to be on a better team. He'd like to be on a team that would be more competitive. He also wants to get paid. Yeah. And he is not, we don't live in a world where Kyrie Irving is going to have the kind of options, because I believe the Lakers when they've put out the no question, it does benefit the Lakers at all to express any interest in Kyrie Irving right now. None. They gain nothing from that. Even if they want every night when Rob Pelinka puts his head on the pillow is he prays and wishes for Kyrie to end up in LA next year. You still don't put that out in the world. But I actually think it's true. I think the Lakers just don't want any part of it. It's too much work. It requires too many people to do too many things, and it would decimate, you know, the roster. There are other ways for them to improve this offseason that don't involve that. And I think LeBron is always putting pressure on the team to try to get better. I don't see a link, unless the reporting changes, I don't see a link between the retirement talk or any of these other things and go get me Kyrie Irving specifically. I don't see it. I don't think it's a leverage play in that way.
I mean, look, it's been made clear by now by LeBron that he wants Kyrie. And, you know, if he would not necessarily retire, because I don't think he's going to give up $47 million. But if, say, he tried to leverage the threat of, you know what, I'm going to get foot surgery and I'm going to take my time coming back, and who knows when that's going to be. From the Lakers, it's like, look, dude, you want to crap away one of your last final productive years as a player just sitting around doing nothing? Okay.
I mean, right. I'm still not breaking right. all this stuff up yeah. for Kyrie.
Yeah, if you want to go out like that, go out like that. Yeah. But we're still not doing it.
Everything about this is so antithetical to how LeBron has done stuff and played the basketball part of basketball. I just don't see it happening. No. Plus, I don't think he's going to leave LA voluntarily and push his way out when Bronny is playing at USC. He's not doing it.
And his family's not going to join him. Bryce has his own basketball career. His daughter, I mean, LA is probably all she knows, like really remembers and whatever.
Not going to happen.
No.
But it is revealing in a lot of different ways, and it will make for fun conversation for the next week or so.
I just can't wait for Kyrie to put out another Instagram saying he's really sick of people trying to predict his free agency. Just let the man live.
Right.
Just let the man live his life. He can't have a simple family dinner now without people speculating over the leaks that he's putting out.
But keep an eye out, though, for some really fun three-team trades that will be popping up on Twitter and NBA Instagram and where all these things come. The possibilities for fun are endless. Andy, on Monday's show, we spent a lot of time talking about Frank Vogel going to Phoenix, what that does for the Western Conference, what that does for the Pacific Division, what that might do to the Lakers coaching staff. There was a big point, though, that was left on the table that we didn't get to about this this situation, and you wanted to elaborate a little bit more, so we'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Prize Picks and Laker fans. If you haven't signed up yet for Prize Picks, you're missing out on Daily Fantasy Made Easy, along with the $1 million daily Superflex promotion for the remainder of the NBA Finals. One Prize Picks user will win a chance at becoming a millionaire. One entry placed after 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time will be randomly selected each day, and whoever place that entry will be given a six-pick flex with the following payouts. Six correct picks, $1 million. Five correct picks, $80,000. Four correct picks, $16,000. Full details can be found at prizepicks.com/million. You must opt in at this link to be eligible for a $1 million entry. Once you opt in, all you have to do is play the game like normal, and you could end up the lucky winner. Prize Picks has the best DFS prop game on the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. They offer the superstar players, the bench players. Just pick 2 to 6 players and predict whether they will notch more or less than their Prize Picks stats projection. You can win up to 25 times your money, and they offer projections on just everything sports has to offer. So download the Prize Picks app, go to prizepicks.com, sign up, play daily fantasy sports. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 using the promo code Locked On. Again, don't forget the promo code Locked On at the sign up for the instant match. If you are not playing Prize Picks, you don't know what you're missing.
Okay, so, you know, we obviously spent some time talking about, you know, particularly as it relates to the Lakers, the importance of Vogel ending up in Phoenix because of the impact it could have on the Lakers coaching staff, whether or not that's Phil Handy or other guys that are left over from Vogel's time in LA. Of course, Darvin Ham arriving new might shuffle up the coaching staff anyway. So, you know, it wouldn't shock me if there's a little bit of turnover, but that wasn't the only aspect of this that I know you found intriguing. We didn't get a chance to get to it for Monday's show.
Yeah, just thinking about Frank Vogel and, you know, this upcoming season with the Suns and the general opinion of Darvin Ham that we've perceived from Laker fans, whether you're talking about in the YouTube comment section for the Locked On Lakers channel or what we hear on Twitter at Can Brothers when we're filling in on 710 ESPN in Los Angeles, hearing from callers. I think it's pretty safe to say that Lakers Nation is not yet sold on Darvin Ham as a coach. There are a lot of people we heard from who felt like Darvin's coaching decisions cost them the series against Denver. I don't believe that that was true in its entirety, but I said many times, I think his game one lineup actually played a massive role in them losing the game and put them in a terrible bind from pretty much opening tip onward. The rest of the series, I think, largely was just Denver was way better. But one thing I was thinking about, Brian, is if Frank Vogel has a really good season in Phoenix, if the Suns are better than the Lakers, unless you can write off a lot of this to just Laker injuries, which we've seen is a live possibility, there's going to be a lot of hostility, even more generated towards Darvin Ham, because the fall guy that he replaced outperforming him, that ain't going to help things.
Well, do you think that's true? People after the trade was made thought that Phoenix was like, you know, suddenly became the prohibitive favorite to win the West. You and I didn't, but many people did. Let's say the Suns do a decent job building out the rest of that roster this offseason. So you go in with Booker, presumably, you know, DeAndre Ayton actually could be on the team next year because
I think he will be.
Well, the only reason he wouldn't be in, well, not the only a reason he wouldn't be is because he actually is a good trade chip.
And he is, but if were I to guess, Frank Vogel wanted to coach this coach.
He might have. No, he might
have. In part sure. Because he wanted DeAndre Ayton. He likes bigs.
He might, but I'm just saying the it was assumed that Ayton would be gone because his relationship with Monty Williams was toxic.
Right.
And that wasn't going to work anymore. Monty Williams is gone, and therefore, you know, Ayton can come back. He still could get traded. But my bigger point. Let's say that they rebuild that roster and they come back with something that makes a lot of sense so that you get more of along the lines of what people thought Phoenix was going to be before realizing their depth was total trash. And they're like legitimately good. They're a 55 win team. There's stuff like that. And they finish ahead of the Lakers. You still think Darvin's going to take the brunt of that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brian, it's adorable the way you're trying to apply this nuance, but that ain't the world that we live in, Jack. Like that's not how things work. For Frank Vogel was a transparent fall guy in a lot of what happened in his final season with the Lakers. That is not to say that he was blameless.
No, but when you say a fall guy, the Lakers practically put two hands in the small of his back and shoved him.
Yeah.
He was set up to fail.
Yes.
From the moment they gave him a pretend extension.
Right. And look, in a lot of ways, I think he was set up to fail from the moment they hired him, because I don't think they were ever fully committed to Frank Vogel to begin with. But the Laker fan base is not sold on Darvin Ham. That is obvious. Frank Vogel is a championship winning coach with far more experience than Darvin Ham. And even with some of Frank Vogel's own shortcomings, you know, namely, he's never been able to consistently put together a team that is even just moderately good offensively. It doesn't really matter who's on the roster. I still feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm underestimating the fan base, but I'd like to think I know him pretty well. They're going to look at the situation in Phoenix and say, that's the guy that still should be coaching this team. And in the meantime, we're stuck with a guy that is still learning on the job while we're supposed to be in the most win now of win now modes.
And it's funny too, because, you know, we mentioned they're keeping Kevin Young in Phoenix. He's really thought of as a really good offensive mind, as they're making him the highest paid assistant in the league. On Monday, they also brought in and spent a lot of money on David Fizdale, another former Lakers head coach. They're spending a ton on that supporting staff there for Vogel, presumably to try to shore up his shortcomings. But I mean, all of this reminds me, like, you and I love to tell this story, like our dog growing up, Chip, mom hated that dog. He got so annoyed with that dog and the problems that the dog caused and this and that, and, you know, was constantly talking about getting rid of the dog and all of these things. Now she thinks back on the dog, just loves that dog. What a wonderful dog that is. That's the situation Lakers fans would be in with Vogel, because that last year, nobody, even while recognizing, like you say, that it wasn't a fair hand he was dealt, everyone still wanted him gone. And so I will find it kind of ironic, at the very least, that Lakers fans would then hold up Darvin Ham to Vogel as like this example of how Ham is a failure and the Lakers got it wrong again by letting Vogel out the door.
Well, I mean, they would say that the Lakers set up Frank Vogel to fail, didn't realize that they were setting him up to fail, or were indifferent to the idea that they were knowingly setting him up to fail. And now they are stuck with a guy who isn't as good as Frank Vogel. I'm not talking about necessarily reality. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about perception.
Let's say you're right, though. How much does that noise matter? Let's assume the Lakers are performing at a pretty, you know, at a rate that is broadly what you would expect whatever roster they roll into to perform next year. But Phoenix is just doing better. How much does that noise around Ham matter?
It depends on if they are performing seemingly this well because of Ham or in spite of him.
Mm-hmm. It will be interesting just to have a guy like that inside the division. And I am... the big wild card, you know, just kind of go back to what we were talking about in the second segment in terms of like, is, you know, you mentioned the possibility, the hypothetical, is this, you know, was last year as good as the Lakers could get? Obviously LeBron could get hurt. Obviously AD could get hurt. You know, the wrong injury at the wrong time could scuttle any team. And that's just sort of the way this works. The way the conference shakes out next year is the biggest wild card of all, because it could be something like it was this year, where aside from a couple teams that actually turned out to be pretty soft, you know, by the end of the year, Memphis had sort of fallen apart. The Clippers weren't healthy. Phoenix wasn't who people thought they might be after the trade. You know, the Lakers kind of resurrected themselves, and Denver is obviously Denver. But it was, the conference was not good by historical standards. Or it could very quickly revert back to what it's been in the past, which is 10 teams that are all, you know, capable of winning 50 games. And it's way too early to figure out where things are going to land. But both of those scenarios seem perfectly live to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it just, whether this is fair or not, whether it's accurate or not, I can promise you it will be what happens.
As you can see here, there are a couple things that we had on our rundown that we got to all today, but there are a few things we've talked about over the course of the last couple of days, including the trade possibilities of Malik Beasley and Mo Bamba going into the offseason, particularly around the draft, and how that could affect what the Lakers are doing, that we have to continue tabling, Andy, but we'll try to get to it maybe for tomorrow's show, unless Kyrie Irving wants somebody else on the Lakers to come play with him as well. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show and hang out and leave questions and talk to us and talk to other people inside that channel, and we'd love to see it. And we will be back on Wednesday. See everybody next time.